In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's definitely one of those gospel passages that they categorize under the hard sayings of Jesus. We have a danger in the modern world of deciding what Jesus was like and then discounting all of his statements that don't fit who we say he should be. Well, Jesus wouldn't have said that because it's not very Jesus-like. That's an interesting way to approach studying something. If Einstein wrote a poem, would we say that couldn't have been by him because he was a physicist and not a poet? Jesus says he came to bring fire to the earth. He came to bring division to the earth. And he criticizes the people for not being able to discern spiritually what's happening. I laughed when I read this earlier this week when it says you can see a cloud in the west and say it's going to rain. I said, except in Farmington. When the south wind blows, that one's pretty accurate. But we do have the ability to do those things, and yet we spend so much energy on those and not enough energy, not enough spiritual discernment, not enough openness of heart and mind to discern the present time. What's happening in the life of this community, what's happening in the life of Israel in Jesus' day, what's happening in my spiritual life. The Holy Spirit is with us to give us those eyes to see if we would pay attention. But what is the fire that Jesus wishes were kindled? Thinking forward in the story, the next time you see fire thrown down from heaven, it's the day of Pentecost. The disciples gathered after he's ascended back to the Father, and he sends the Holy Spirit who rests upon the disciples in tongues of fire. And I can see Jesus saying, what I really want is to send the Holy Spirit so that my people, the people of this earth, will be able to discern what they ought to be able to see. You can't discern the spiritual realities. I want to send the Spirit. I want to send the fire. I can't wait for it to happen. Of course, he has to go through the crucifixion and the resurrection, and as he says, and what stress I'm under until that is accomplished. But he's frustrated that they can't discern. What happens on the day of Pentecost? This is the fire he wants to send. Now, it is a fire of division, because when the Holy Spirit comes, there are those who will believe and there are those who will not. The divided household he talks about. But the Holy Spirit has to come for that to happen, for the message to be taken deep into the heart of each person and each person to be willing to have the vision to stand up and say, yes, I believe, or no, I don't. That's what begins to happen at the day of Pentecost. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, that clarity, that discernment comes into the world. And there are three things that happen when that fire comes, and they're easy to remember because they all start with P. The disciples, when the Holy Spirit falls on them, they praise God. If you read the story from the book of Acts, when they spill out into the streets, the people of the Jewish people who were visiting from all over the world said, we hear them speaking in our native language the great works of God. Praising God, when we often say praise God, we just shout that phrase. But praise is a verb that means to do something, and it means to tell what the person has done. I'm going to praise a child for winning the athletic event, you know, the 100 meters, or I'm going to praise the orchestra by saying that they did a particularly good job of that piece of music, or I'm going to praise someone who has helped me with something in the parish, a project, and to say, thank you, you were helpful on that. I'm glad you did that thing you did. I'm going to tell what was done and say it was a good thing. That's what praise is. They praised God in the languages of all the world, probably, in my opinion, by telling the story of God's deliverance of Israel at the Red Sea, of telling the story of God conquering Jericho on behalf of his people, telling the great acts of God in their native tongue. They praised God. The first thing that happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon his people is praise. The second thing that happens is preaching, because when everybody in town thinks everybody's drunk, Peter stands up and he says, "They're not drunk. Listen to me, I'm going to tell you what happened." And they preach Jesus. They preach Jesus crucified. They preach Jesus resurrected and triumphing. They praise God. They preach Christ crucified. And third, people believe. Those are three things that happen when the fire comes on the earth. When Jesus ascends to heaven with the promise, "I will not leave you alone, I will send you another comforter to be with you, and he will abide with you forever." That fire comes down on the Feast of Pentecost, and the disciples praise God, they preach Christ, and people come to believe. And that's a nice Bible story from the second book of Acts, and we can put it back on the shelf and be done with that. But no, you can't. Because when you were baptized, that very same Holy Spirit was given to you. That very same Holy Spirit is in this room because it's that Holy Spirit that told you to wake up and come to church this morning. He had to yell at me. That Holy Spirit gathered this body of people in this place today. That Holy Spirit that roared on the day of Pentecost may not be quite as loud today as it was that day, but he has the capacity to turn up the volume. If we realize that that story is not relegated to the pages of Scripture, that story is a living reality that Holy Spirit is poured out upon us in our baptism, in our confirmation, that Holy Spirit gathers us together. He is active and living in every particle and moment of our lives. That Holy Spirit is in you. And if the pattern holds true, there are three things. Not that ought to happen. I'm not going to say that you need to sort of drum up your motivation and make it happen. No, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that our mouths are opened in praise, and that our mouths can be opened to preach, and that people can believe. I can't make praise happen. The words are given to me. I don't know how rightly to praise a God who is holy and completely eternal. Someone has to teach me how to praise. It's why I love our prayer book so much. It's why I love our hymns so much. I can't preach myself. I can't preach my gospel. I have to preach somebody else's story. It has to be the story of Jesus. It's not mine. It was given to me, this story, this truth, this glory, this beauty. Preach somebody else's something. The Holy Spirit has given me and you the praising. He has given you and me what to preach. And it's by his power that people will believe. I can't make it happen. He makes it happen. That fire makes it happen. That which Jesus wanted for the world is now, from the day of Pentecost, a living reality in our midst. We will start to see it happening when we start believing that Holy Spirit is a true, real, and living gift. That's what Jesus was so anxious to get started. And I dare say he's not quite done. Amen.